This is the weekly Bible lesson from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent for Sunday, August 14th, 2016. Subject, Soul. Golden Text, Psalms. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Responsive Reading, Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. For this God is our God forever and ever. Lesson Sermon, The Bible, Psalms. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Joel. Be glad, then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. Isaiah. Fear not. For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall He be called. With great mercies will I gather thee, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Ruth. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. So they two went, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and came, and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? And Boaz said, I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Job, prepare thine heart, and stretch out thine hands toward him. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning. 2 Corinthians. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Philippians. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Soul, being spirit, is seen in nothing imperfect nor material. Soul is the substance, life, and intelligence of man, which is individualized, but not in matter. Soul can never reflect anything inferior to spirit. Man is the expression of soul. The Indians caught some glimpses of the underlying reality when they called a certain beautiful lake the smile of the Great Spirit. Separated from man, who expresses soul, spirit would be a non-entity. Man, divorced from spirit, would lose his entity. But there can be, no such division, for man is coexistent with God. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if sought in soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. We cannot circumscribe happiness within the limits of personal sense. The senses confer no real enjoyment. In science, man is the offspring of spirit. The beautiful, good, and pure constitute his ancestry. The radiant sun of virtue and truth coexists with being. Manhood is its eternal noon, undimmed by a declining sun. As the physical and material, the transient sense of beauty fades, the radiance of spirit should dawn upon the enraptured sense with bright and imperishable glories. Man, governed by immortal mind, is always beautiful and grand. Each succeeding year unfolds wisdom, beauty, and holiness. Life is eternal. We should find this out and begin the demonstration thereof. Life and goodness are immortal. Let us then shape our views of existence into loveliness, freshness, and continuity, rather than into age and blight. The beautiful in character is also the good, welding indissolubly the links of affection. The recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul, to retreat from the belief of pain or pleasure in the body into the unchanging calm and glorious freedom of spiritual harmony. Love never loses sight of loveliness. Its halo rests upon its object. One marvels that a friend can ever seem less than beautiful. Spiritual man is the image or idea of God, an idea which cannot be lost nor separated from its divine principle. When the evidence before the material senses yielded to spiritual sense, the apostle declared that nothing could alienate him from God, from the sweet sense and presence of life and truth? It is ignorance and false belief based on a material sense of things which hide spiritual beauty and goodness. Who that has felt the loss of human peace has not gained stronger desires for spiritual joy? The aspiration after heavenly good comes even before we discover what belongs to wisdom and love. The loss of earthly hopes and pleasures brightens the ascending path of many a heart. The pains of sense quickly inform us that the pleasures of sense are mortal, and that joy is spiritual. The pains of sense are salutary if they wrench away false pleasurable beliefs and transplant the affections from sense to soul, where the creations of God are good, rejoicing the heart. Such is the sword of science, with which truth decapitates error, materiality giving place to man's higher individuality and destiny. This is the doctrine of Christian Science, that divine love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object, that joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the master of joy, that good can never produce evil, that matter can never produce mind, nor life result in death. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven, reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. Think of this, dear reader, for it will lift the sackcloth from your eyes, and you will behold the soft-winged dove descending upon you. The very circumstance which your suffering sense deems wrathful and afflictive, love can make an angel entertained unawares. Then thought gently whispers, "Come hither, arise from your false consciousness into the true sense of love, and behold the Lamb's wife, love wedded to its own spiritual idea." Then cometh the marriage feast, for this revelation will destroy forever the physical plagues imposed by material sense. When false human beliefs learn even a little of their own falsity, they begin to disappear. A knowledge of error and of its operations must precede that understanding of truth which destroys error, until the entire mortal material error finally disappears, and the eternal verity, man created by and of spirit, is understood and recognized as the true likeness of his Maker. The periods of spiritual ascension are the days and seasons of mind's creation, in which beauty, sublimity, purity, and holiness, yea, the divine nature, appear in man and the universe, never to disappear. You have been listening to the weekly Bible lesson from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. For more information, please visit www.plainfieldcs.com.